objectives of my study were to devise a multidimensional measurement of family planning service quality, and we were able to incorporate survey items from three different sources: patients, providers, and facilities. And subsequent to that, then to determine the relative importance of the various aspects of quality using what we call the contingent market evaluation scenario. So we spoke a little bit earlier about the influence of Judith Bruce and her six domains of family planning quality, and they are client-centered. And so what we had in front of us when we did this study was data that wasn't just from the client, but was also from the patient, the provider's perspective and the facility's perspective. And we were curious to find out if, with these different perspectives, we could also whether we could verify the six domains of quality posited by Bruce at all, or if we came up with a different set of quality measures. Another influential figure in quality measurement is Avitus Donabedian, and he has three dimensions of quality, and broadly speaking, looking at structure is comparable to looking at measuring aspects of quality at the facility level. And looking at processes looking at the availability of goods and services, and then the outcomes maybe are related to client satisfaction or contraceptive use. The information that we had available to us was, as I said, from these different perspectives, and so we had, for example, information on the methods available at the facility, the appearance of the facility. We also had information on how much training the providers received and what were the satisfaction results from the client's perspective when the client came to the facility. The data came from Carolina Population Center's Alternative Business Model Study, and the purpose of this study was to compare quality, provision characteristics, and cost associated with four different types of family planning service providers, as you see up there. The study was conducted in three countries over two rounds of data collection. We only used, in my analysis here, the data from Pakistan and Ethiopia due to some incompleteness in the data from India. This data, as you can just see here, was from a large number of facilities and clients. We had over 2,000 facilities, 3,000 providers, and over 21,000 clients, which were surveyed over these two rounds of data collection. And we're consequently feel quite confident in the robustness of our measurements. And so, as I said, we were inspired by Bruce's six dimensions of quality, and from the surveys we had in front of us, we began with 112 survey items. And by survey items, I mean questions such as, is there a working toilet available for the clients? How were you treated by the provider during the visit? Have you ever received training for post-abortion care? That would be a question for the provider. And from those 112 items, we reduced it down to 8 indices. And an index, for example, an index was grouping together all those items that related to provider-client satisfaction, or all of those questions that provider-client conversation, and then all those questions that related to the choice of methods given to the client. And I'm just going to briefly go over how we then come up with a measurement of quality and what are the implications for this measurement? So, I used factor analysis in order to measure quality. And factor analysis, for those of you unfamiliar with the topic, it's a method of discovering what we call the underlying or latent construct. So, if we think of quality as a kind of an amorphous concept that we can't particularly put our finger on, then factor analysis is a way for us to try to quantify some of those aspects that might make up quality. It's also a method of data reduction. We went from 112 survey items, which is overwhelming, to 6 dimensions of quality. And 6 dimensions are, as you know, much easier to work with. And lastly, it can be used as a method of scale construction. So we saw just now that my colleague from Tanzania used a type of scale when she measured her quality, and factor analysis will allow us to, you know, create a different type of scale. So factor analysis is a very mathematical method. Its benefits are that it allows us to have a more objective or hands-off approach to determining our dimensions. We're not coming in saying that we're going to use the 6 dimensions of quality posited by Judith Bruce or any other construct of quality, but we're rather letting the data kind of tell us how they might be grouped. And so I went through an iterative process in order to boil down the 112 survey items into 6 dimensions, and I'm happy to tell anybody about that afterwards if they're interested. So I'm just going to skip over a couple of these slides here. Okay. So the results that we came up with, this is an example from Ethiopia, and what it shows us in yellow is that, for example, factor 4, the first 2 lines there, you see I had a variable called ProTalk. It was an indication of how much the provider and the client communicated. It was made up of several different survey questions. And there was also a variable that indicated how much choice the client was given in their family planning methods. And mathematically, these 2 variables fell into the same dimension because they covaried together and they were separate enough from all of the others. And so as a result, I'm then able to look at the variables and say, well, what do I think that factor 4 represents? And I decided that factor 4 represented kind of the information that was given to clients. Similarly, if you look down at the bottom 2 rows, you see that 2 questions that dealt with abortion. It was how much training did the provider receive in abortion, and then what was the content of the training that the provider received. Clearly, abortion, 2 things that talk about abortion, make sense that they group together. What's interesting is that they were separate from other types of training questions in this analysis. So as I said earlier, we had data from 2 countries, Ethiopia and Pakistan. We did the analysis separately. And what ended up happening in the end was that we were able to generate domains of quality and name them based upon the variables that kind of shook out, but that they turned out to be very similar. Even though these are different contexts and different countries, they turned out to be very similar, and they also turned out to be similar to Judith Bruce's criteria. So the differences between Ethiopia and Pakistan are seen in the last domain, where in Ethiopia it talked about only the range of services provided, whereas in Pakistan it also included items about whether the facility had running water or was clean. And so what I'm describing here is a methodological approach. So the actual numbers, the values of the quality in the different facilities is not what I'm emphasizing, but rather that in one population that's Muslim and urban, because Pakistan was a city, an urban sample, and in another that's an urban-rural mix of mostly Christian origin, factor analysis resulted in very similar domains of quality. And it resulted in very similar domains of quality, and this is a measurement using Cronbach's alpha just to verify whether factor analysis kind of made sense using a measurement that perhaps some of us are more familiar with. But the bottom line is that aside from looking at technical competency in abortions, which is something that the Bruce criteria did not look at, and us not having a domain that kind of reflects her domain of mechanisms to encourage continuity of use, they were very similar. And this was surprising to us. So now we have these six domains, and the next question was, you know, what do we do with them? And so we came up, you know, we had this quandary, you know, do we weight these domains or do we just add them up? And one reason that we might want to weight them would be if there was some intuition that they're not all the same, that abortion training should not have equal weight as what kind of information was given to providers or what kind of choice of methods the client has. But I'm not one to put that framework upon the data. So I had the pleasure of having 30 family planning experts from around the world as a captive audience one afternoon. And we gave them this scenario. So each expert, these were like directors of family planning from ministries of health and from other organizations, each expert was given $5,000 in monopoly money. And they were given this scenario, and they were asked to, using money, kind of put weights on these different domains. So they were told, you're the director of a family planning program, and a self-study has just been completed, and it found that the quality of services in your clinic scored a 5 out of 10 in all of these different domains. This NGO exists with a proven record of improving family planning service quality, and for every $1,000 spent on a particular domain, the quality rating will go up by 1 point. So for example, if $2,000 is spent on technical competence, then in that area they will rate a 7 out of 10, and it will remain at that rating for 10 years before falling off again. The experts were asked about 7 domains because the reason for this study was slightly different. And this additional aspect was the importance of increasing service accessibility for the poor. And unfortunately, it would be wrong of me to just take that out because it's a contingent scenario, they have to trade off one against the other, so I can't take one out and assume it'll be the same. But what we see here is that these experts felt that 21% of funding or of importance should be placed towards methods choice, and only 10% should be placed towards client satisfaction. So that client satisfaction, while important, is perhaps not as important as the choice of methods provided to the client or the information provided to the client, which ranked at 15%. And that they found it was very important to increase the service accessibility for the poor at 19%. So part of the problem with this is that, for example, client satisfaction and service accessibility could be closely linked. We can't look at these completely separately, but there is a trade-off here that you see between looking at more technical aspects of care and looking at client satisfaction. But when we talk about the implications of this in terms of a program, in the end, like, this was a hands-off approach. This was an approach where, as the researcher, very little bias was introduced. And what we find is that, lucky for us, the theory of Bruce's framework is borne out by this data, and that these domains of quality may be generalizable across countries, which makes it possible to make regional comparisons. that there are many different ways that you could use the quality score. You could use an overall measure for further analysis in terms of equity or usage, or you could use the disaggregated scores to compare different facilities on particular aspects of quality. And that if the right questions are asked in the initial survey, or if enough questions are asked in the initial survey, then actually perhaps such a complicated process, which I skipped over, is not needed, because in a way it's been verified, maybe not to your satisfaction, but to a fair amount of satisfaction, that it's been verified that Judith Bruce's framework, which centered upon clients, still holds true when you look at providers and facilities providing the data, not just data coming from the clients. So, thanks very much.
Thank you. Now, do we have one or two questions specifically on this one before we go to our last? You have to think on and find things for yourself. Yes?
Sure. So, for example, with provider like what kind of satisfaction does the client have from their visit? Is that one example?
Or one of the questions, for example, how were you treated by the provider?
Right. So for that specific question, it was a scale from 1 to 5.
Another question for anybody?
It is a very interesting scenario. So I think,
and I'm wondering if we should really rely on providers, because like they're the gatekeepers for quality care. So quality care is a quality stuff that you possibly get caught, and these kinds of rankings can probably cause a lot of that problem.
Yeah.
So just seems to kind of funny point for providers to find out what the
right. So my colleague here, she talked about a project from Indonesia where, you know, they were empowering the clients. And in a way, you could say that by empowering the clients, if the clients were asking more questions, then they would perhaps get more method, they would have more, a better choice of methods or a better range of information that was provided to them because of the questions they were asking. And as a result, may be more satisfied. But it's hard to say that this weighting scheme implies that the experts or the providers aren't interested in client satisfaction. I think what it implies is that in a situation where there are limited resources, they would rather put those resources towards some of these other aspects than towards particular measures to just increase the satisfaction of the client.